What do you think it means to be a person?
I don't know.
Me either.
Really.
Say scratch that again.
Scratch that again.
I'm Caitlin Metz, a non-binary illustrator and designer.
I'm Rebecca Tossig, a disabled storyteller and writer.
And this is Scratch That, Parenting and Reparenting Off Script.
A podcast for people trying to parent and person at the same time.
Head over to our Patreon, Scratch That Podcast, for show notes and a transcript of today's episode, and also to join the conversation.
Thank you for being here. Hi, friend.
Happy Monday. It has been one whole year of us saying, hi, friend, happy Monday.
One whole year without missing a week. Sometimes in those early days, we were doing like two little episodes a week.
It is absurd. It's absolutely absurd.
Is it not? Is it different than what you expected in that way, in the rhythm of it?
I don't know that I had any expectation. Like, I didn't know what to expect, I don't think. How are you feeling? I'm feeling really proud of this project that we just like jumped into. It's like such a new medium. I had no idea what I was doing, still don't. And we just did it.
I think I feel the most proud when I like actually look back and scroll through and think about all of the different conversations that we've had. I feel like we dug into a lot and dug a lot of stuff out of the earth. I don't know if it was like good strategy, bad strategy, neither nor. It just seems like we did it in a sort of different way than maybe like marketing teams would have advised us to do. And I also appreciate that. Like, I don't know if this isn't real or imagined, but I feel like there is a lot of pressure in the online digital spaces that we all occupy to really like condense things down, make them tidy and organized and shiny, and then like hand out the product. And it's like, this is how you should think about this. This is what the tiny distilled nugget is. This is three tools. And I think we sort of wandered through some of that, but a lot of what we did was just like look at it together and not offer that tidy, shiny thing. And I love the people who are here for that. I'm grateful that to be among them. And I'm proud that we have done it in our own way.
Yeah, I think we did the opposite of the like 1, 2, 3 step where we like just like dug things apart and we were like, but this thing, and it could be this thing and this. And I think the idea we both hold really strongly to like, yes, and both and multiple possibilities, which makes things way more complicated and tangled. But I think that we did a good job of not offering advice or pretending like we know the answer and just sitting in curiosity and confusion together, which feels like maybe a weird thing to be proud of, but I feel proud of that.
It feels in alignment with our values, and I feel like proud of being in alignment with that despite all of the real or imagined noise and pressure to make something else. I also, and I don't want to speak for any of our guests, but something else that I'm proud of is that how many people we had conversations with who at the end of it were like, oh, that felt really good. I'm leaving lighter, or I'm thinking about things in a way that I hadn't before. I know that like whenever I'm interviewed on a podcast, when it feels like, oh, that was like not just like a rote, let's talk about all the things we always talk about, but sort of explore things in new territory together, or take care of each other in this conversation, or support each other in this conversation. I feel really good about that. For anyone who experienced us that way, any guest who experienced us that way, that's what I would always want to offer people who come into conversation with us, whether it's behind a microphone or just as a listener.
Yeah. And then just the like sheer audacity that we had to jump into this completely new medium with no idea what we're doing. So many times, even still, I just want to like hide when I think about people listening to my voice, and I am perpetually afraid that I talk too much, which is funny because literally the whole point of this is that we're talking, but I'm like, I talk too much and I ramble and this feels so awkward. It still feels like an awkward medium, and but I like that it's pulling me in different directions, and I'm thinking through stuff in a different way, because I think that by nature of it being such a different way of working and thinking and making something than I'm used to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I if in my in-person world, if anybody brings up my podcast or like someone I know in real life is like, so you have a podcast? I'm like, no, don't Google it. I just like the idea of anyone listening is like so hard for me.
And yet we're like, please listen, please listen. Send it to your friends. Give us a 5-star review.
No, I mean, my sister, my oldest sister, Laura, has listened to every episode of our podcast. And the gift of that to me, every time she texts me and says like, oh, this bit or a crying emoji about this part of the conversation or whatever it is, does make me want to cry every time. So it's a weird both and, if we're going on the theme of the vibe of the podcast, I feel like, don't listen. Oh, thank you for listening.
Yeah. Yeah. My little sister will frequently sends me notes about it. And then one of my best friends sends me, in the beginning, she would text me every week. And that felt really special.
Yeah, I think one of the things about the medium that has been hard and good for me, and I know we're different in this way, but I'm so wired to create or share or show up based on feedback. Do you like this? Do you not like this? Is this what you want? Or is this not what you want? And like creating based on like, I guess, metrics of reading people's faces, or, you know, like I'm so prone to look for feedback. And one of the things about this medium is that the feedback is much different. It's much quieter. I think there's a lot of experiences that people are having that I never hear about. And so I think that has felt good and uncomfortable for me to play around with and practice what it's like to just sit down and think, what do I want to pay attention to today, or what feels important or interesting to me and you? It's not like there's that collaboration and the feedback from you, but it's not as much this like setup to feed off of direct commentary from an audience or reviewers or comment sections or hearts or whatever it is. And I think that this year I've really needed to and have been trying to find ways to move away from that kind of creating. And this has been part of that.
Yeah. And I'm the opposite, where I like am just creating because it's what I need and it feels good, or it's like, I don't know, so much of what I make is about catharsis and self-inquiry or soothing. And I struggle so much to promote and talk about the work and share it and to like really consider my audience. It's not something that I spend very much of any time thinking about. So I've been trying to stretch in the opposite direction. And so I think it's been good for both of us in that way. I want to hear about the moments that you're still thinking about. So often you're like, remember this thing, and I'm thinking about this one. And I do too. I think about the conversations, but I think the way that it has hit is different for you. And I'm really excited to hear about your top moments that you're still thinking about.
Yeah. And I will preface this. I've pulled some moments, some specific moments from episodes we've recorded that just come back to me all the time. Like key ideas that I am still thinking about, that are like, have changed me in some way or are reframing things for me that were illuminating for me. I do want to preface this by saying we could do an episode on these moments that would go on for all day. Like I like looking over particularly the interviews that we've done. We could pull out several moments from every interview. And so this is not an exhaustive list by any means. So that is my preface. So this first clip is from our Maria Bowler episode, Getting Off the Conveyor Belt of Production with Maria Bowler, which aired on February 17th. And Maria had a new book coming out called Making Time, A New Vision for Crafting a Life Beyond Productivity. And in this part of the episode, Maria was talking with us about paying attention to what's alive in us. And as creative freelancers, that comes with some complexity. I was kind of struggling with how to do that when it feels like my creative work is also what makes money for our family. And also this piece of it that's like the things that I'm making also fill this specific need around disability advocacy. And how could anything else feel as important? You know, like why would you do anything other than like this important work? And I was struggling with like deviating from that. So here is a little clip from that conversation.
I think there is also fear. And I wonder if this resonates with you or not in your own relevance. I'm putting air quotes around that, is like, what will that mean to my career? To how will that impact my family? You know, like it's sort of like billows out from there. And so sometimes I feel like it's hard to lean into paying attention to what is alive versus pay attention to what people want to hear from you. Pay attention to what people want you to come speak about, you know? But I like what you're saying about how it doesn't have to be this like huge life-altering shift, that there is maybe just this noticing and maybe smaller ways to pay attention to that without just being like, and now I'm never writing about disability again. I mean, that's just silly. Of course I will and want to. It's just maybe the fear I have in exploring and pushing that creative edge out a little bit. I don't know.
I want to reassure you, and I hope this doesn't sound glib, but you are the thing that has made your career work. You are the thing that has made things magic. It's not what you're talking about.
That is a totally new thought for me. Okay.
I'm going to put that on a loop for you.
My whole body is like, wait, what? What does that even mean for me?
I feel like this is one of the most important things, moments of someone speaking to you and things that you needed to hear. You as the person or what makes the work brilliant and whatever it is cohesive and it is true and right because it comes from you, not because of what you're saying specifically. I think this like, should it be only disability? Should it be this other stuff? Where's the cohesion? And I think you are the cohesion.
This moment was definitely huge for me. And Maria saw me. It felt like we weren't recording a conversation. It felt like she was just like, hold on. Let's talk about this. And when I watched the video back later, I watched my body like literally pull back. And I think I put my hands up like I was pushing her, the idea away. My body had a reaction to that. And I think I still feel complicated about this. It doesn't feel simple or obvious, totally clear to me all the time still, but I do feel like I've been moving a bit, dropping down into that trust a little bit more. I recently marked the 1-year anniversary of my Substack as well. And I asked, of course I did. I asked my readers, I was like, what do you want me to write about? What questions are there that you're wrestling with that you want to dig into or like whatever? And I was really struck by how many of them said, like, whatever you want to write about is what I want to read about. And I was like, this is still hard for me to trust, but it feels like an important evolution for me. And I think also there is a way in which being trapped in this loop of like, what do you want from me? How can I get you to like what I'm making, I think is becoming a bigger
hurdle in the making. It is like an impediment to doing the thing that this sounds so cheesy and grand, but like the thing I'm meant to do. And I'm getting ready to like put together a book proposal for a second book. I say that with the giant caveat that I could have said that many times over the last 5 years. So hang tight before we make that official. But that's what I'm working toward. And I'm really trying to think like, what is the book that is in me, not what is the book that people want from me? That conversation, that moment with Maria, I've come back to many times. That language, paying attention to what's alive in you, is coming into my writing and my thinking a lot. The next moment from an episode that has really stuck with me came from our episode with Lucy and James Catchpole. It was flipping the script on disability. It came out on March 24th. And I was really struck by this, the way that Lucy and James talked about limitation, restriction, I think was the word that they used. And a lot of this came up in how, like, disability and parenting. And Lucy, her disability sort of requires that she spend, I think they said like 95% of her time in bed. She's in bed a lot. And thinking about how that affects parenting, they just had like such a rich and thoughtful and alive way of thinking about what that meant for their family.
This conversation has also lived rent-free in my head. It feels like embodying of the trickster energy that we talk about. I think about it in terms of design and the way I present constraint and restriction to my students as this like breeding place for creativity. And I love any time we can have a positive conversation around constraint, because I feel like that is the only way in so many areas of our life that we're going to move forward, is if instead of allowing restraint to limit us, that it opens up possibility, which I feel like they spoke to so beautifully here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here we go. Ready?
And so I'm doing everything from bed, and I've gone out of the house once since the 1st of January. We've gone out once. And so you are left with what can we do? What joy can there be? And the answer is an enormous amount as it turns out.
Yeah.
But that means that a lot of I can't hope to attain to any sort of normal ideas of motherhood and what that might look like. So that's actually a very liberating starting point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what that reminds me of, Lucy, as you're describing that? It reminds me, I've made this connection in other contexts before, but it reminds me of there is this narrative in the world that limitation is always bad. Like, it must be better that we have endless options and like all the space to do whatever and infinite choices. But when we think about like creativity and different creative expressions, like a haiku, for example, like the limitation is the thing that creates the parameters for that very particular expression. And that's what I feel like I'm hearing in the way you describe that is like these are the very particular parameters of our poem. And that's maybe part of exactly what I'm noticing before having the language for it of like, this is the haiku, or this is the sonnet that
this
you
is
guys.
This is the picture book text of
300
words in 12 to 14 spreads.
That we can do. Yeah. I can do. Yeah, exactly.
Wow. I love that picture.
It's
so
the restraint that breeds the creativity, because when you are so restrained, creatively, physically, whatever that restraint is, like you have to just like bounce against the walls and find something new. This is so beautiful. I talk to my students about this all the time in terms of like the creative constraints that I'm giving them for their projects, but I wasn't considering it in this context.
Yeah.
I feel like one of the things I love about that little exchange is that I think that gets to the heart of what we're trying to play with, explore in this podcast. It's the creative pursuits and practices. It's the parenting. It's the prompt. It's paying attention to the prompt to do it in your own way and make the thing that you're going to make and not try to make what everyone else is making. And I think they embody that in such a vivid specific way that it just like resonates so deeply with me. And I see it everywhere now. I'm like that this like pay attention to what that limitation is and let it be the prompt for the haiku, or like pay it, you know, like just paying attention to it in a different way.
It feels too like one of the things that's really stood out for me in the Maria Bowler book, which I've been rereading, is like paying attention to what is like real or true, or like what is right now, which feels like the way that you noticed what the limitation is, or just being with what is. Like if we want to make change or we want to be present or do this differently or better, we have to stop like following these like rote things or like the way that it's always been and just be with what actually really fucking is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The next episode moment that I pulled was from our conversation with Hannah and Shane Burkaw, the hilarious and heartbreaking, aired on May 26th. And actually, this part of the conversation came from a line from their book that I really loved. They wrote, "It was funny because we made it so." And to me, I mean, that like little line, that little sentence, to me, gets at so much of the power of personal narrative, the power that we have access to with reclaiming a narrative and telling our own stories. So I'm going to play this clip for us real quick. Well, you know what that makes me think as you're talking is like, I wonder how much the telling of the story is part of the reclaiming. Mm-hmm. And like taking the power and being in charge of the script. I think so much about that movie, that kids movie, Inside Out with the memories. I'm always talking about that. You know that movie? Where, uh-huh. And it's almost like the memory comes down and that other person is like trying to make it into a sad moment. And you guys come in and you're like, we are recreating this memory. And now it is funny. And we are the ones in charge of it.
Yeah.
Like the act of storytelling with the humor, that superpower you have of like your levity. I think there was another quote in the book where you said like, it was funny because we made it so. And I loved that line.
No, I think that's a really good point. Yeah. And something that we talk about often is like, when we have a bad experience or we have some inaccessibility issue or whatever, our first reaction is usually like, this is going to be a great video. Like, it sucks right now, but it's going to be a good video.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I think that is a tool that we use, because we know like this bad life event has value. It will have value.
Yeah.
In the way that it will make other people fired up or angry or laugh or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure.
Well, and the ability to make it funny. It was funny because we made it so. Like, that feels like such a defining part of what I experience in you is like just this. It reminds me of the word scrappy too, of that, like the scrappiness that is like grabbing that story by the throat and just like making it funny. You can make anything funny.
But it also doesn't feel like you're discounting.
No.
I think there's like sometimes people like do this Pollyanna thing, and that is so not what I get from you guys. You're just like, you are so steady in who you are, and you're like, fuck this shit and just make it, you take ownership of it without pretending that it didn't suck and that stuff isn't hard. And then you're like using that. I think humor is such a powerful tool to enact change because it's so disarming. It's such a bonding thing. And when you are laughing or finding humor, like you're moving yourself out of a trauma state. Like you can't engage in that kind of play if you're like traumatized. So it's like such an amazing tool just for like regulating yourself.
Yeah.
And then a way to connect with other people without pretending that the shit isn't so fucked up.
Really appreciate you saying that. That's like our favorite take on what we do. Yeah. It really frustrates us when people say, I wish you wouldn't just sugarcoat everything. Like not everything's a joke, stuff like that. It's like, we know that.
I like that you named the both and of it too, that you underscored. It's not just this trite, like, we're coping because we're laughing, ha ha ha. But like, the way that it's being used and the way it's not being used.
Yeah, it's not deflecting. It's not spiritual bypass. It's not pretending that it isn't hard and horrible. I cannot handle people who do that. It's so invalidating for other people's experiences. But they're also like not being miserable. They're like, this is what our life looks like. And a lot of times it's fucking hard and horrible. And also it's hysterical.
And we get to be in charge of how we tell it. And we get to be in charge of what it means. It reminds me a little bit of, I mean, we talk a lot about on this podcast about scrappiness, about that trickster energy. And something about the way that Hannah and Shane find these zigzag ways through life experiences and reclaiming and reframing what it means reminds me of, do you know what I'm going to say? Your childhood muscle, like, we don't have anything in the kitchen. What recipe are we going to invent, right? Like,
yes, it's ownership. It's playing with constraint. It's paying attention to what is present.
Yes. Yes. Which just feels like
not being the martyr.
Yeah. There are things that are outside of our control. And then we also have a tremendous amount of power that we can tap into in paying attention to what is and finding our sideways routes.
Yes. I love how these are all tying together. I don't like.
And again, this is just like a few gems along the way. I mean, we could do this for every episode. We could do multiple for every episode. But these are the ones that I just can't stop thinking about. Okay. Another moment that I keep thinking about, sort of teasing apart in my brain. It was a tiny moment in an episode that we had with Abby Van Meter. The episode was called What Paradigms Are We Building? And it was part two, those episodes. It came out on February 3rd. Abby was responding to an episode, the part one episode that you and I had just recorded together, talking about building paradigms. And I think you had said something kind of offhand in that episode. You said something that we hear often. Everyone, I'm sure, has heard the idea that like our parents did the best they could, right? And Abby had a reaction, a really thoughtful reaction to that language that she walked us through. So let me play that first before I do any reflecting on it.
My parents did the best with what they had. I think everybody said it. And I was just trying to think about how that felt to me. Because it doesn't feel like a warm hug. It feels like something I'm saying because I'm nervous my parents are listening and I don't want to hurt their feelings. And someone I love is Glennon Doyle. And she, you know, talks a lot about parenting and some language she says is what's the truthiest truth. And so to me, that's not the truthiest truth. And something that's maybe the truthiest truth would be my parents raised me in a context where they didn't have all this information, or my parents raised me in response to how they were raised. Again, that doesn't feel warm. It just feels kind of empty where it's like, you know, you two as parents, I feel pretty confident saying, you know, if I was like, are you at your best all the time in your parenting? I feel like you two would embrace, you know, hell no to that. And so to say, you know, well, my parents were always doing their best. Like, is that what you hope your kids say about you when you grow up? What if it's something like Caitlin also said last episode, I turned out beautifully.
I still feel conflicted about this.
Me too. Okay. I like think about this often. What's the conflict that's coming up for you?
It's like, I need it to be true that they were doing their best. Like that, I need that to be true somehow. And also, I don't think every parent is always doing their best or did their best or even like put in like the effort. Yeah. And then I think about, okay, so like, how is this like poking a hole in my thing? Because I'm definitely not always my best. Quote unquote, but like, who the fuck is?
Right, right. Because as I'm listening to Abby talk through this, I totally am like with this way of thinking. I like the reframe of like, what do you want your kids to say about you? And I love the idea of like, what if it was I turned out beautifully? I love that. And also, I think I feel like I'm really trying my best. I really am. Like, I feel like I'm like turning myself inside out and like clawing at my own skin sometimes, trying so hard to do my best. And it still isn't what I want it to be. And so I think that dynamic is really hard to process when you're thinking about your own parents and parenting parents more broadly, and like this general phrase that we often use. I don't know how to feel settled about it. So maybe that's an episode we do another day. But I just wanted to put it on the map and say, this is hard for me. I don't know.
Which I like that it is still making us think. I feel like this is not a critique of Abby's perspective, but of like, what is it? Why is it generating so much complexity?
Yes. Yes. It's bringing up a reaction in both of us that I think is worth paying attention to. And it's very thought provoking. And I think honestly, at the heart of it, it's sort of like in my brain, it feels like an interrogation of the language that we use and what we mean when we say it that I don't have sorted out yet.
Yeah, I agree. Interrupting this episode to say thank you to everyone supporting the podcast on Patreon.
We love seeing your comments come through. We love getting to know each of you better. Like, you being there really means the world to us.
If you want to support the project financially, you can become a paying patron for as low as $5 a month. That's less than a latte.
But there's lots of free ways to support the podcast too. Sharing episodes, giving us one of those very pretty 5-star reviews, all of that makes a huge difference too.
And you can also join Patreon without paying. So the show notes will always be there for you. Okay, back to the show.
Now, in the spirit of reflection on this pausing over our 1-year anniversary, did you know that we actually interviewed 22 people in the last year?
That's so many people.
I know. I would like to thank them. You ready?
I am so ready.
Every single one of these conversations is worth time and attention. I feel like all of our guests brought so much of themselves and their insights and what they see from their particular point of view on this earth at this time. So thank you to Alex Wegman,
Emma Parker,
Nina Tame,
Sasha Mardeau,
Lisa Oliveira,
Abby Van Meter,
Maria Bowler,
Esther Hoybricks and Melissa Cash,
Amelia Hubry,
James and Lucy Catchpole,
Laura Danger,
Elsie Larson,
Danny Kurtzman and Steve Way,
Shane and Hannah Burkaw,
Kate Wieners,
Esper Bergman,
Kaplan Trudeau,
Cody Cook Parrott,
and our most recent interview with the one and only Kate Bingaman Burt.
I have can't believe when I look back at episodes. I'm just like, Lisa Oliveira wanted to have a conversation with us. And then like these personal heroes who are just like, oh my God, I've been following you. You are the reason that I felt permission to like have a kid in the first place, and your work are the things that I share everywhere. Like so many of these conversations. And then to get to talk to some of our friends. Like the range and the depth that these people brought is just chef's kiss.
And then behind the scenes, not on named in episodes as all of our listeners that have shown up over the year. I mean, we talked about this at the beginning, but I'm just like really grateful and in awe of people showing up week after week to tune in and swaddle these conversations with care.
Thank you to everyone who's like stopped me in a coffee shop to say they listen or sent a DM. Thank you for saying hello. And it means a lot. I'm like an awkward turtle in public. But if you're one of the people who have stopped me, thank you. And sorry, I'm so awkward.
And I feel like that might be part of why they love you. Side note. And also, I want to thank our patrons. We've had some people who have supported us financially over this endeavor. And we have used that money for putting classified ads in people's newsletters and getting consultations from people, like paying for consultations around this podcast. And that has been really helpful. I mean, like, this is a little bit of a part-time job that we've taken on without an income attached to it. And so for people to see that and value like two working parents, the time and energy we put into it, it has been really a gift that has not been unnoticed. So thank you for believing in the work that we're doing and supporting us in such a tangible way.
Speaking of being working parents, should we talk about what's coming next?
Yes. Yes. Let's look ahead.
We are going to take a pause, which feels scary in a way because we just rocked out a full year without missing a week. And then we're going to be like, peace, bros. Not quite yet. We're not taking the break quite yet. But we were trying really hard to like schedule ahead and record a bunch and get prepped so that I could have leave and the episodes wouldn't stop. And it just started feeling incongruent, I think, to our values and what matters to us. And so we're just going to take a break and rest. We've been reflecting a bunch about what this podcast means to us, how to more sustainably, I think less about sustainability for me and more like intentionality, like how we can be like sit with these conversations a little longer and dig into them more. I think reflecting on the ones that have felt really special has made me just like want to spend more time with it. Like we're just always racing forward. So we have some new structures in mind. We have some new thoughts on how this podcast will go. But I feel really proud of our decision to just press pause on it and not pretend like the next few months of my life aren't going to be total upheaval. And it feels important to like publicly to do that out loud without feeling embarrassed. I think for me personally, it just feels like a big deal. Something I've been working with my therapist a lot is just not being afraid to say, I'm not taking on work right now, or to pause things while I have this baby and to create a little cocoon for myself in the early months.
If we look back on the conversations that we've had over the last year, I hope that you would feel affirmed that this is exactly what you should be doing. It makes so much sense, not just in alignment with our values, which is part of it, but also what new humans on the planet and their parents need. It's just such a unique window of time. We're going to swaddle you up and let that be a gentle introduction for this shift in your family and for this new person on the planet. I feel really good about this. I feel like as we look back on the year, you're right. It's just been like conversation after conversation, and there's so much to sit with. And I think I feel really invigorated by the idea of like putting a stake in the ground and resisting the speed of the world that we live in to pause. And then I think come back at a maybe a slightly different pace with a different kind of intentionality. We'll talk more about that later as we get closer. And just to be clear, so people know what to expect, we will have weekly episodes until right before Thanksgiving. And then we're planning to take a pause until spring. And you can stay tuned for when that those episodes start kicking back into gear. But if you are a subscriber to Patreon, you would get that in your inbox or you'd have an update coming. And we also have some Patreon pages that will be sharing and reflecting on the in-between. So no new episodes, but some bundling of episodes and reflection on those episodes for the in-between time.
Yeah, and doing this episode and just like seeing the threads come through and how we pulled them together. We've been looking through past episodes and we're going to be continuing. We're going to like package them up with maybe some reflection about how they pair together or what they meant to us. And like, push those out in Patreon posts, which you don't have to be a paid subscriber. All of this will be free. So those will keep dropping out to you.
We have a couple of I am really excited about the episodes we have before Thanksgiving. We have a couple of incredible interviews that we're going to be sharing that we are so excited for people to tune into. There's good stuff. And then we're going to pause and come back with some sharper intention, I think.
Yeah. And some beautiful reflection in the in-between time.
So our last request from our beloved listeners is twofold.
Yes. One is, would you please go leave us a 5-star review?
if you've experienced any episodes on this show that have resonated with you or meant something to you, the reviews really do make a difference for us in people finding us. And I think in the reviews, you can even name, like, if there's a specific episode that really hit you in an important way, you could just name that. That helps other people kind of go through and figure out a starting place. So if you've had a good experience, a 5-star review would be wonderful. And if you want to name a specific episode in those, in the comments, in the reviews, that would be helpful.
And I just want to point out that you can leave a 5-star review. Like, you can just say 5 stars without writing something. So if writing something feels overwhelming to you, or you could just say, oh my God, Caitlin and Rebecca are so hot. That'd be fine. Then the other thing that maybe is easier than writing a public review, I don't know, is would you just send an episode to a friend, one that you think has resonated with you, that made you think of them? There's all of these big, these like metrics of like leaving reviews that like matter. But I think the things that actually build a sense of community is when things are shared between people and it's word of mouth. And so that would mean so much to us.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
We love you.
All right. Talk to you soon. Yeah.
Okay.
Bye.
You tell me when we're done. Okay.
Bye.
This podcast is edited and perfected by the most beautiful wizard and my favorite dude, Micah Jones.
For all the show notes and a transcript of today's episode, check out our Patreon, Scratch That Podcast. This is our hub. It's where you can join the conversation and be part of our community.
If today's episode resonated with you or made you think of someone, share it.
And if you want to support the pod and also make us glow inside, go give a 5-star review on Apple. That would be so lovely.
Thank you for being here, for listening, for being a part of this community.
We love you so much.